Good morning. Good to see the good number that we have with us this morning. So thankful for your presence. Good to be out and to be with one another. You would open your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 24. This morning's lesson actually kind of begins in chapter 23. Paul has returned to Jerusalem to deliver the benevolence of the saints to the needy saints in Jerusalem, and while there he has went up to the temple and entered into a purification ceremony with some people, and while he is there he is recognized by some enemies of the cross of Christ, and they begin to accuse him and cause all kinds of trouble to the point that the captain of the Roman military has to come down and break things up and kind of get Paul out of there. He hears the accusations that are being made, and Paul actually asks if it'd be possible if he could just say a few words and get people calmed down, and that didn't work. It just got people even more mad. So the captain got him out of there and found out that Paul was a Roman, and he thought that maybe he could call the council together the next day and get things calmed down and settled down. That didn't work either. So Lysias didn't have much of a choice but to send Paul up to the governor of Judea, who at this time was Felix. And so he sends him up there, and his accusers come up to Caesarea to make their accusations against them. A fellow by the name of Tertullius, who is a noted orator, probably a great lawyer of some kind, and butters up Felix and then presents his false accusations against Paul. All sounds kind of familiar these days. And finally, Paul was given a chance to speak for himself. I want to begin there with Paul speaking to them. Verse 10 of Acts chapter 24 says, "Then Paul, after the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, 'Forasmuch as I know that thou hast been many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself. Because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess to you, that after the way which they call a heresy, I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets, and having hope towards God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust.'" And particularly, I want you to notice here verse 16. "Herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and toward men." Paul has said, "I believe the Scriptures. I believe everything that God has said in the Scriptures, and one of the things that God has said in the Scriptures is that there will be a resurrection of the dead. I believe that." And if they believed everything in the Scriptures, they would acknowledge that too. But he says, "In light of this resurrection, I always exercise myself to have a conscience void of offense towards God." Now, Paul said, "This is what I do in light of the coming resurrection and judgment." But what's he implying? This is what we should all do. we're all going to stand before God. We need to all have a conscience void of offense towards God. And he goes on and gives his reason for coming to Jerusalem and so forth. But I want to pick up here now with verse 24. It says, after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewess, he had sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, I probably ought to fill in what happened in between here. Felix listens to everything that Paul has to say. He's not really sure if he wants to make a judgment at this time. He says, I'm going to send for the captain of the guard to come up and to give his side of this story as well, and then we'll settle this all out. And I assume that that happened, although we don't have a record of it. But Felix, instead of making a judgment on Paul's case, just found it more politically advantageous for him to just keep Paul in custody. He has free rein as far as receiving visitors and so forth, and support from others, and all of that type of thing. But it says, after some days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewess, so she understands the Mosaic law too. And he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, as he reasoned of righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, go away for now, and when I have a convenient time, I will call for you. I want you to consider with me that Felix was afraid. Why was he afraid? What do we see here? Paul had reasoned with him concerning the faith in Christ. Paul didn't reason with him about Paul's faith in Christ, but the faith in Christ. The faith that comes by hearing the Word of God. The faith that you and I know by the Scriptures. It's not some faith, it's not a faith, it is the faith. And as he reasoned with him, he reasoned of righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come. Now remember, Paul had said a few days earlier, I always exercise myself to have a conscience void of offense towards God. And here, Paul is reasoning with Felix and with his wife, and is now making the point very clear. Felix, you are a judge. You have judged our nation well for many years. No doubt he had talked about how that Drusilla was familiar with the Scriptures, and how that we need to revere the Word of God and practice the things that God has instructed us to do. God is instructing them now through the faith in Christ. Felix was a man who, when he judged, had to judge a righteous judgment. He had to judge by the Roman law. It wasn't up to him to legislate from his seat of authority. But he had to judge by the law, had to judge fairly. So he understood what a righteous judgment was. He reasoned with him about self-control and about judgment to come. You know, Felix, I'm not the only one who's going to be judged, Paul's saying. I'm in your court to be judged by you, but you know, we're all going to be judged by God according to this standard of righteousness. And whether we have chosen to love God and practice self-control and demonstrate our love for Him in obeying Him. So I want to consider some of these things with you this morning. Righteousness. Who's to say what righteousness is? Well, in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 14, it says, the Lord our God is righteous, in all his works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. God is righteous. We might acknowledge that he is righteousness, but we might not always obey him. But we should. The Lord our God is righteous. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." It goes right along with our created purpose, as stated in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Why are we here? Why did God create us? Why am I alive? To revere God and to keep his commandments. And if I do that, then I'm practicing his righteousness. I need to prioritize him in my life. In Luke chapter 1 and verses 5 and 6, there was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the division Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now notice, they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Paul is reasoning with Felix about righteousness. Number one, what's the standard of righteousness? God is the standard of righteousness. His word is the standard of righteousness. Can we understand it? We can certainly understand that. Zacharias and Elizabeth understood it. They knew the word of God, and they walked in all the commandments of the Lord blameless, and because of that, they were both considered righteous before God. Notice also Romans chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17, where Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jews first, and also to the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Notice the gospel. In the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. In the good news of salvation that is in Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith. God is the source of faith. To faith, we are the subjects of faith. And those who are justified live by faith. And by living by faith, they practice the righteousness of God. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17 tells us, "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, or is breathed of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." For what? For instruction in righteousness. All Scripture is given for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, if I want to know the standard of righteousness, where do I need to look? I need to look right here. I need to revere God. I need to revere His Word. I need to realize that I'm not an exception to the rule, that it was written to instruct me in the paths of righteousness, and humble myself before it and practice that which I find written there. Romans chapter 10 in the first three verses, we read, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Well, how would they be saved? Going back to Romans chapter 1. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. For Israel to be saved, they're going to have to hear and believe and practice the gospel of Jesus Christ. "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." They're not going to be saved by their zeal. They're going to have to combine their zeal for God with a knowledge of righteousness. "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God." God. And His Word is the standard of righteousness by which we shall all be judged. That standard of righteousness was evident in the very life of Jesus Christ, by whom we shall be judged. A zeal for God is good, but if we don't have a knowledge of His righteousness and the humility to practice the self-control, to practice His righteousness, we will not be saved. In Philippians chapter 3 and verses 8 and 9, it says, "Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." I hear people talking all the time about their faith. Well, my faith, or our faith, not really interested in that. Your faith is not going to save me. Your faith is not going to lead me in the paths of righteousness. The faith that leads me in the paths of righteousness is the faith that comes from the Word of God. And we need to recognize that so that we might be found in Him. Not practicing our righteousness, but practicing His righteousness. Well, having a knowledge of who is righteous, God is righteous, His Word is righteous, His way is righteous. Having a knowledge of that, then we must practice self-control. We recognize that I'm not living the way God tells me to live from His Word. So I've got to change. I have to repent. I have to stop living the way I have been living. And I need to acknowledge God's way is true and right and pure, that it's going to lead me into a fulfilled, abundant life here as well as hereafter. And I need to practice self-control. I need to stop doing what I am doing and start doing what God wants me to do. Galatians 5 and verses 22 through 25 says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." Self-control. Against such there is no law. There's no limit. You know, we've talked about this before, how that, our highways and so forth have speed limits on them. You can go fast, but only so fast. Well, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Well, how much love? All the love that you can muster. Love, joy, without limit. Self-control, without limit. Practice it completely and fully. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You see the self-control? Not going to give in to the passions of the carnal side of life. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I'm going to crucify that passion. I'm going to put that to death. I'm not going to do that anymore. And I'm going to live in the Spirit. Let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us practice that which the Spirit, through the Word of God, teaches us to practice and to live. Let love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control be evident in your life. Don't be ashamed of repenting. Former friends might not want to be your friends anymore. Well, you choose your friends. Jesus said, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Do you want to be a friend of Jesus? You can't be a friend of Jesus and a friend of the world at the same time. You're going to have to make a choice, and you're going to have to practice self-control. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. For this very reason, give all diligence and add to your faith your knowledge of what God would want you to do, your trust in Him, your seeking Him through His Word. Add to your faith virtue, excellence, the pursuit of excellence in your practice of faith. And to your virtue, knowledge. In order to be excellent, you're going to have to know what is excellent. To your knowledge, self-control. Now that you know it, you need to practice it. You're going to have to abandon old habits and establish new habits. Abandon sin and establish the practice of righteousness. To your self-control, perseverance. Keep doing that. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For all, if these things are in you and abound. See the virtue there, the excellence there, the standard. If these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted. He's not looking to judgment to come. He's not considering standing before the judgment seat of Christ. If you lack practicing self-control to establish these characteristics as God teaches us in His Word, we're just living in the moment. We're short-sighted, even to blindness. And you've forgotten that you were cleansed from your old sin. Are you practicing that which God teaches us to practice from His Word? It takes self-control. It takes a commitment. In Romans 6 and verses 12 through 13, we read it this way. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Many of you are way too young to remember this guy, but there was a fellow by the name of Flip Wilson who had a comedy skit that he kind of did every week, it seemed like. But part of it was that, well, the devil made me do it. Now, the devil doesn't make you do anything. The devil will tempt you. He'll present the opportunity. And the devil says, go ahead and do it. And the Lord, knowledge of His Word and His will, the Lord says, don't do that. Honor me, glorify me. Don't do that. Live a life of righteousness. But it's your choice. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. But present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. I have a carnal desire to do this that God doesn't want me to do. Present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, dead to your sin, but alive to God, and your members as instruments of righteousness. Paul is reasoning with Felix about righteousness and self-control. The points that he's making here in Romans 6 and the other points that we've been noticing, don't have any doubt that he's not raising these same points with Felix. He didn't just say, you know, judgments is coming, so we need to know what righteousness is and practice self. No, he's laying it out for him. You got to make a choice, Felix. Are you going to serve Almighty God? You know about Him. You can't rule over this province of Rome and not know about Almighty God. You know about Him. Your wife knows about Him. You've talked about Him. This is a serious matter. He is the standard of righteousness. He has presented that standard to us in His Word. We need to be practicing the self-control that abandons our sin to practice His righteousness. And we all stand condemned before the Word of God. But He reveals that to us so that we can be justified if we'll just turn from this way to His way. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11, Paul wrote to Timothy, the evangelist, and he said, "You, O man of God, flee these things, these carnal desires, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness." These are all parts of righteousness. Flee. In this context, he said, youthful lust. It doesn't mean you have to be young to have the lust. You can be older in age and still entertain youthful lust. He says, flee, run away from them. Practice self-control. And pursue. Just as energetically as you're running away from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, pursue with energy righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience. Keep doing it. Godliness and gentleness. The faith in Christ involves reasoning about judgment to come. The Jews and Paul had been reasoning about Jesus and Jesus being raised from the dead, and Jesus' resurrection from the dead was evidence of what the Scriptures had foretold and speak about, that we'll all be raised from the dead. That this life is not just about this life. There's an afterlife if we're faithful to God. An afterlife in His heavenly presence. But there will be a judgment. Romans 2 and verses 2 through 5. It says, "We know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think that you will escape the judgment of God? Do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." God is righteous, and we will be judged by the standard of righteousness that He has revealed to us in His Word. Do you think that you will escape the judgment of God? You're not thinking right. The last several days, Debbie and I were fortunate enough to go up to Ohio to celebrate the birthdays of several people in my family. One of those birthdays was my brother's daughter. And my sister lives in Somerset, Ohio, which it's not really one of those places you pass through on your way to someplace else. It's like if you go to Somerset, you probably want to go to Somerset. So she hadn't been there for years, and she was thinking she knew how to get there. She didn't. And she was, I don't know, 30 miles in another town someplace. I don't know where I am. So why don't you just put it in your phone and it'll, you know, Well, I thought I knew. I thought I knew how to get here, you know. I kind of tease her a little bit. She calls herself Wonder Woman, and there's good reason for that. I said, well, have you learned anything, Wonder Woman? She says, what do you mean? I says, you can't trust your feelings. She says, well, I thought I was going the right way. I thought I knew where I was going. How'd that work for you? Do you think you'll escape the judgment of God? Do you think you're an exception to the rule? You think you're going to be judged by a different standard than the righteousness of God and His Word? You better give Him a call. Better get back to your GPS here. God's guidance system. He'll set you on the path of righteousness that leads to Him. Revelation 20 and verse 12. John said, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. The books were open. These books. 66 books of the Bible. The books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. The Bible reveals to us that the book of life contains the names of those who have practiced the righteousness of God to His praise and glory. The dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Yep. That's what we've been saying all morning, isn't it? These books, this book is the standard of righteousness. We're going to be judged by the things that are written in the books. Are you living by what is written in the book? Are you practicing self-control to be found right in His sight? 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether good or bad. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 says, it is appointed for men to die once, and after this, the judgment. You think you'll escape the judgment of God? Think again. Think righteously. Think humbly. And be prepared to appear before His judgment seat. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verses 7 through 8 says, you who are troubled, rest with us. Are you troubled at the thought of appearing before the judgment seat of God? If you're out of Christ, if you haven't applied His shed blood to your sins to be forgiven of your sins, if you're not practicing the self-control necessary to be walking in His righteousness, you should be troubled. Just like Felix was troubled. He was afraid. The Word of God had convicted him. He knew that he stood before God guilty. And he needed to make changes in his life. In 2 Thessalonians again, chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, Paul says, you who are troubled, rest with us. Do you think he was saying to Felix? Do you think he saw Felix trembling? Do you think he saw his nervousness, the perspiration on his brow, the shuffling of his feet, the moving around in his chair? You think he saw that? Yeah. Felix, rest with us. Come into Christ. The Lord Jesus is going to be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Felix, you need to obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who in this audience this morning needs to obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? Everything's prepared. The water's ready. We have garments you can change into. Everything's ready. If you're ready, we're ready to baptize you into Christ for the remission of your sins. Jesus said, except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. You'll be separated from God for all eternity. That means you'll be separated from everything that is good. You'll be separated from relief from pain. You'll be separated from joy and happiness. You'll be separated from light. If you're troubled about that, rest with us. Find rest in Christ. Jesus said, you that are weary and heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Jesus said, except you repent. What's repent? Well, repentance is self-control. Repentance means I've decided not to sin anymore. I've decided not to go the way I want to go. I've decided that I want to go the way God wants me to go. Jesus, except you repent, you will perish. Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. If you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who is in heaven. Matthew chapter 10. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16 and verse 16. Are you troubled? Rest with us. Find rest in Christ. Obey Him. Follow Him. He leads you in paths of righteousness for His name's sake to a wonderful home for all eternity among the heavenly host. Follow Him. Find rest in Him. Judgment's coming. We talked about that book of life. Is your name written there? If not, it can be. God can wipe your sins away and write your name into the book of life this very day. If you're here today and you're a child of God and you haven't been living according to His righteousness, you haven't been maintaining your self-control, you need to make things right with Him. Let us pray with you and for you. James says, confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. When the roll is called up yonder, will your name be there? As you honestly examine your soul this day before God, and you say it's not there right now, let's add it today. Would you please come as we stand and sing this song?